Is there times when we had felt that the temple had replaced the Lord? And he allowed it to be destroyed twice. And there's going to be a third temple that's going to be erected in Jerusalem in the future. And many of our Jewish people will think, well, now the Lord is now going to come back towards us yet again. But we know this, what's going to happen to that third temple, do we not? The abomination of desolation shall be revealed. The Antichrist shall make himself known there. And the false prophet, and our people will be led astray yet again. But to know this, that our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, and our Father, Abba, are in control. He allows these things to happen, and many times he doesn't give us the answers. There are times I have been, and I know all of us can testify to this, that we as believers, there have been times when we've had tears, and the Father just gives us his presence, his mercy, his peace. But he doesn't answer our questions. We are to trust our heavenly Abba in those times. The Psalms declare this. They declare this, that he catches our tears in a bottle. In some translations, it says in a wineskin. He collects them. They are precious unto him. And just think of it, when we get up into heaven, he's going to show us those bottles. He's going to show us those wineskins. And he's going to explain everything to us in detail. I remember growing up as a boy, there were times when I just had to trust my parents. I didn't understand. I did not understand when they were chastising me, they were disciplining me, but I learned to trust them. We go through those times too with the Lord. And so, Father, we now lift up this day, which has been a horrendous day to our people, the 9th of Av. Many programs. In 1290, the Jewish people were expelled from England. Father, during that time also, they were expelled from Spain as the king and queen were expelling them. The edict was 4 months on the 9th of Av. It was declared that in 4 months you have to leave Spain. That, Lord, you allowed there to be provision through all these days. And Father, now we stand with our Jewish people, both in America, throughout the world, and especially Israel right now. Many are entering into fasting, both today and tomorrow, because they desire to see the will of God being done in all our lives. But Lord, we recognize that this day that you've chosen is a day of reckoning, that all the idols that we've allowed to be placed in our life would be laid aside, and that we would look towards our Abba, being revealed through Yeshua, as our only hope, our only provision. We give you praise, O God, even though we face tribulation and hard times, as our eyes are cast upon you, our hope. Both those temples were destroyed, but the one, the model in heaven, was not destroyed. Hasatan was not able to go there and to destroy it. But Lord, I just give you all glory and honor and praise that in the midst of suffering, we can look into your face and know joy. In all these things we ask for protection, a hedge of protection around all the Jewish people throughout the whole earth, O God, during the 9th of Av, as we focus on you, O Lord, and give you all glory and honor and praise. In Yeshua's name, amen. Father, I now come before you and I ask, O God, that your word would go forth, that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, would descend upon your people in a greater way than ever before. You'd open up our eyes that we may be able to see what your scriptures say. You'd open up our hearts and minds to receive your word. That Holy Spirit, that you'd give application beyond whatever anyone could share. As you prepare us, the holy remnant of God, a called out people who should show forth your praises and to know you intimately, O Lord. Just as was shared earlier today by Barbara, to hear the beating of your hearts. May we hear the beating of your heart in our ears, O God. May we draw close to you, rise up upon your lap, and lay our heads upon your chest and hear your heart beat. And that may be our comfort. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. The title of today's message is, I, Yeshua, your Messiah, shall return. We've heard many, many times historical about generals saying that they're going to come back, like John MacArthur did in the Philippines. He was able to answer that call and fulfill that call. But what we're going to be focusing on today is that Yeshua was declaring that he would return to us. And not only just to us, but for every generation yet to be born. Let us now turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. It's also called Matiyahu, chapter 24. And let us begin at verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all things, know that it is near and at the door. Amen. I tell you this, that this generation will not pass away until all things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, except the Father alone. For just as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and swept them all away. So that it shall be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. Therefore, stay alert. For you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Yeshua shared this with his Talmudim, his disciples. And you may look around you today and say, well, there's only a few people here. How many people was he speaking to at that point? 11, 12, just a short amount. And of the 12, how many actually were really listening? 11. Because Judas, the betrayer, was there. His heart was always ready, being prepared to go against his Lord and his Messiah. Yeshua shared with his Talmudim, and he gives us these promises that he has, and he said, will actually come to pass. And this was prior to him dying, that he said this, I shall return. From the fig tree, he says, learn its lesson. As soon as a branch becomes tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he, Yeshua, is near at the very gates. This is the first promise. It is another pattern from nature which reveals the point that Yeshua wishes to make. We all know that as trees begin to put forth their leaves, it is proof that summer is near. Yeshua declares that when Israel shows signs of life as a nation, then that the end is near. And we know when that happened, do we not? What year was that? 1948. And for 2,000 years, our people were not of their own nation. But now, we are. Yeshua has revealed in the good news of Luke that this was not only about the fig tree, but also of all trees. In Luke chapter 21, verses 29 through 33. Then Yeshua told them a parable. Look at the fig tree. Indeed, all trees, as soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things taking place, you're to know that the kingdom of God is near. Yes, I tell you, that this people will not certainly pass away before it has all happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass. We can trust. Yeshua is not a politician. We did not vote him into office. He is the promised Messiah selected and ordained by his Father. What Yeshua means is that history unfolds and it becomes apparent that the world is heading toward the conditions that Yeshua described. History will confirm Yeshua's predictions as it unfolds. We are nearly 2,000 years of history since Yeshua spoke these words. But as he spoke these words, it was just like when he spoke all creation into being. It was yes and amen. Everyone now can judge for themselves whether or not the world is quickly approaching these events. In Matthew 24, verse 34, yes, I tell you that this people, and who are the people? The Jews of Israel, will certainly not pass away before all these things happen. I know that in many of our translations, it says this. It says, this generation. And the disciples, the Talmudim that was hearing at that time, thought to themselves, well, I will not see old age until Messiah comes back and sets up his earthly kingdom. A better rendering is that it is the Jewish people of Israel, the land of Israel, in the latter days. And just think about that. Just as Kathy shared earlier, that people now, when you go and tell them about the Shemitah or about all these things that we're living the last days, what do they look at us and say? You're nuts. You're Meshuggahna. I heard that in the 80s. Did I not hear that in the 90s? Did I not hear that in the 70s? And he didn't return. But what is Yeshua saying? He's saying, watch. Watch. Every generation watch. And you know what? Those believers who died and are now laid in the graves, they died with that promise not being fulfilled. But you know what? When he comes back, what does it say? He's going to rise whom first? The dead in Messiah shall rise up first. Why? Because they invested themselves in faith, believing in the promises that are written here. Let's continue. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. How much more value do we give to what Yeshua has said? Do we trust him above everyone else and everyone else? Is there a man or woman on the face of this earth that has more credentials in your life than Yeshua? If there is somebody, you need to set them aside and follow the word of God. And not man or woman. And especially the one who's speaking to you right now. Follow the Lord. Know his word. Walk in his ways. Yeshua declared that he would give his life as a ransom to many, and that's what he did. Yeshua said he would rise from the dead, and he did. Yeshua says that he will come again, but do you believe him? There are many believers that believe this, that they're going to usher in the kingdom, and it's going to go on for many, many years, and then finally Yeshua will come down later. Because we're going to conquer the world. We're going to convert everyone to believe in the Messiah. But what does the Lord say? Only few. Narrow is the path. Only few find it. Only few desire it. That's reality. He's coming after a holy remnant. A holy remnant from every generation. From Adam to now and beyond. That's what he's coming after. What is that which we consider as the most dependable thing that we know? How about tomorrow's sun? We base our lives and we plan on this. About the sun coming up tomorrow, we make plans. We plan weddings, bar mitzvahs. Birthdays, where I'm going to work, where I'm going to live. Man makes plans. But Yeshua goes on to say, but he has said that the sun will stop and it shall pass away. But Yeshua's words will not. Yeshua's coming then is more certain than anything else we know. Anything else that we can lay our hat on. How many people thought, hey, the stock market's never going to crash? I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's getting ready to crash again. And if you put all your hope in your IRAs and in your stock accounts, gold and silver and all these other things, if you're not putting your provision in Yeshua, you're going to lose. The only thing you could properly invest your life, your time, and your finances in is the kingdom of God, where no thief or robber can break in and destroy. And allow the Holy Spirit for you to direct you in your stock market investments, gold, silver, and where you're to give. This is an awesome responsibility. Every time when we come in here and we bring in our tithes and offerings, we're investing into the kingdom that's being established here, that you are part of. You've not only invested your finances, but even more precious, your lives, your time. That is more precious to the Lord than your finances. Let's continue. By the word which all things were called into being, the foundation upon was the word of the Lord. He now rests in this statement, for my words will not pass away. Before the heavens and earth were ever created, there was nothing. Until Yeshua, directed by his Father, spoke out those words. How many kingdoms have come? How many governments have come, raised up and fallen from generation to generation? But the word of the Lord stands. Heaven and earth, the whole universe, my brothers and sisters, is going to pass away. So what are you clinging on to? Is it not the word of God? And having a relationship, practicing the presence of Yeshua. If you're not doing that, then you're playing games and you are a fool. I've been a fool many times as a believer when I stopped practicing the presence of Yeshua. Let's continue. Yeshua now has us focus on a description of what has only happened twice in recorded scripture. I won't have you turn there, but remember when I taught earlier about Enoch and Eliyahu? That's found in Genesis 5, 21 through 24. And Bet Malachim, 2 Kings 2, 1 through 14. Enoch walked with the Lord for 360 years. And one day, he was taken immediately to be in the presence of the Lord in heaven. Now fast forward to 2 Kings. Eliyahu had served the Lord for many years, and he was promised by the Lord that he was going to take him. It was not only promised to him, but Elisha. It was spoken to him. And if you read that portion there, it says that one group of prophets came up and said, do you know that this day that your Lord is going to be taken away? Eliyahu is going to be taken away? The chief prophet? And Elisha said, yes, I know. Three times they came to him at different times in that period. And they said, your prophet, the prophet of God, Eliyahu, your spiritual father, he's going to be taken away from you. Think of that significance here. We have spiritual fathers and mothers. Most times they don't live all the days of our lives. And the Lord allows them to be taken away. And many times Eliyahu turned to Elijah and he said, here, just stay here, because I got to go on and do what the Lord wants me to do. And Elijah said, no, I'm going to be with you. And he said, I desire double portion of your spirit. And he said this, I will be given to you if you remain with me until that moment comes. And just as they were speaking, what came down? A chariot of fire. Separate both of them. Eliyahu, Elisha, he jumped up into there. And he went up in a whirlwind. And what did Elisha do? He ripped his clothes off. And the mantle fell down. And he took upon the mantle of Elijah. And he went up to that brook, and I skipped that earlier, and he struck the brook, and the waters parted. And the men, the prophets from the prophets' guild, they were able to recognize that this man was walking in the double portion and anointing that Eliyahu walked in. So here are two times, two individuals who did not face death, but they've been ushered into the very presence of the Lord. I know we sing the song, the days of Elijah, do we not? But how about the days of Enoch? They've been going on even longer. Some have confused Yeshua's coming with the glorious manifestation, the presence described in verse 30. So now let's look at verse 30. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Tremendous power and glory shall be revealed. But what is Yeshua saying here? He's saying, you do not know the day nor the hour. You won't know if it's night or day. But be prepared. Now Yeshua gives us an additional warning found in Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. And here it is. So stay alert, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But you do know this, that when the owner of the house knew when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you too must also be ready, for the Son of Man will come when you're not expecting him. Many people have passed an urgent passion to set dates for the Messiah. Remember, 88 reasons why Yeshua is going to return in 1988? Did it happen? Boy, that was a great seller at the Christian bookstores, was it not? And a lot of people were preparing. Saddam Hussein, oh, he's the Antichrist, remember? All these things. Every generation has said that. Several times in our history, it has been announced that Messiah Yeshua would return at such and such date. Some have even gone as far as selling their property and climbing up on hills and staying up there watching his appearing. It's kind of like the time when Yeshua, he went up from his Talmudim and he ascended to the Father. What was happening? All the Talmudim were just standing, just watching and waiting. Why were they watching, waiting? Well, he said, we're this generation that's not going to pass away, so he'll probably be down in a couple more minutes. But what did the angel say? Why are you looking up here? Why are you looking up here? Go about the Father's business. Because what did Yeshua tell them? He said, you're to go what? Gather together and wait in Jerusalem until you receive what? The gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by the living God, to build the kingdom. It's amazing how we just get so focused on certain issues, do we not? It's nothing new. Praise the Lord. Yeshua gave us a hint by comparing it to the days of Noah. They did not know until the flood came. There was no sense of any coming disaster that this went on, despite the preaching of Noah for 120 years. Has Rabbi Ed been preaching here for 120 years? No. And just think that. That was the length of time that the Lord had allowed for grace to be established, for the people to see. Noah, during 120 years, which he faithfully warned his generation that God would judge the world of that day. They were even familiar with the sight of this huge ark. And some of us think, wow, just think about this. This fall, what we're going to see? The final red blood moon. So there are the warnings. And here they had a giant, huge ark that was built hundreds of miles away from any ocean. Here was the warning. But the people laughed and they called Noah Meshuggah. They called him crazy. This guy's nuts. Who's going to build a big boat like this hundreds of miles away from the ocean? How's he going to transplant that thing? Transport it? But in life, they continued to go as usual, The first sign of any coming disaster was a quiet, unnoticed removal of a select company from the world that day. It was just eight people and pairs of animals. A holy remnant. Just think about that. Eight people out of all the people of the earth. They were the only ones that were saved. God is coming after his holy remnant. Yeshua now describes his selective removal, as recorded in Luke 17, 34 and 35. I tell you, on that night, there will be two people in the bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left behind. This happens simultaneously, both in day and night. The great removal will occur. How many really bright people here? There are many times when I read that scripture and it just went right over my head. But you know what? If you have third or fifth grade science class, what does it tell you? In one part of the earth, at a certain time, it's what? Dark, night. And the other part, it's day. And so, like I said, I'd read this scripture for many, many years. As a young man, it just went right over my head. So when I saw, well, it's the day of the Lord, I thought, well, it's going to be daylight. Not necessarily. The day of the Lord, and for some people, it's going to be at night. And that's why the scripture says, you don't know the day nor the hour. For even the Son of Man doesn't know, but only the Father. He knows this. Yeshua revealed that there's another way to glory. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Yeshua showed Peter, Kepha, James, Yaakov, and John, Yohanan. Yeshua, along with Moshe and Eliyahu, was transfigured before their very eyes. And I've heard many people say, I thought God said that Moses wasn't supposed to enter the promised land. We have a God of grace, do we not? He entered. It's amazing. Yeshua didn't have to walk up to say, hey, Peter, Kepha, this is Moshe, Moses. And this guy over here, that's Eliyahu. And you know what's amazing? They were not celebrating Pesach at that time, because what do we do every year? We set out a place for whom? Eliyahu to come. For we expect him to lead the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And not only the hearts of all the children, to the Father Abba in heaven. He is to prepare the way. And it goes on to say, here, and I skipped that. Yeah, I'm in the right spot. It was before their eyes. And going on, it says that Rav Shaul, Rabbi Saul declared in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, look, I tell you a secret. Not all of us will die, but we'll all be changed, and we'll take but a moment, but a blink of an eye, at the final shofar. For the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised to live forever. And we too will be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry. And I think that's going to be the Lord that's going to be yelling out that cry. Yes, Father, I now am able to go and get my remnant, my bride. A rousing cry with a call from one of the ruling angels and with God's shofar. I believe that's the shofar that they heard when the Lord gave them the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. The one that made that whole mountain shake. And the ground below the mountain was shaking. And they heard that shofar. And it kept blasting and blasting and blasting. This is God's shofar. And I believe that the Father will be taking that shofar. And he shall be blowing it. And those who died united with Messiah will be first to rise. Then those who are left still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds. Notice that word, who are left still alive. That means that there's going to be a remnant of believers. Why? Because they're going to be facing persecution, tribulation. We're not to fear persecution or tribulation, because Yeshua faced it and he overcame it. The Father's provision was there for him. We should rejoice when these things come against us, to know that our Father rules and reigns in our hearts and minds. Think when I very first saw that one video, and I didn't watch the whole thing, of those believers that ISIS took and had these men, and they just simply, and the peace, there was peace all over their faces. And they knelt down, and they were about to be beheaded. What does the book of Revelation declare? It says this, that those that are beneath the throne of Abba, they cry out both day and night, when are we going to be avenged? When are we going to be avenged? And what does the word say? Be comforted, know this, that your number has not been fulfilled yet. So that those, literally those men there, knew those scriptures. And when they stood before their enemies as lambs who are going to the slaughter, notice nobody jumped up and started rebuking devils because they were walking in the provision, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that they knew that they were now being called as honor to be martyrs for the Lord. And that's why there was peace that flooded their hearts and souls. And I have to confess to you, I have not been there yet. But I know this, if the Lord asks me to be a martyr, or anyone who hears this or is sitting here today, the Lord asks you to be a martyr, He will fill you with His peace. And for all eternity, you will walk, it says, they say that it says that they walk behind the Lord, immediately behind Him. They have an intimacy and fellowship with the Lord that no other believer has, because they are the martyrs. From Yeshua's own lips, I will come again and I will take you unto myself. John 14:3. He desires us. He desires our presence. We come together as assembled in the body of Messiah. We desire the presence of the Lord. But I tell you this, my brothers and sisters, when you're alone in your home, you can have the very little presence of the Lord that you sense here. And if you're not practicing it there, then I say this to you, look out, because you may not be part of His holy remnant. You make that decision. I make that decision. I can play games with God. I can go through all the motions. I can put on all these phony, hypocritical appearances of walking with the Lord. But the Lord knows whether or not I'm His, and He's mine. The days of playing games is over. Let's continue. Yeshua also told us, if you obey what I say, then you are truly my Talmudim, my disciples. So when the Lord says to me, Frank, you're walking in sin, and the Holy Spirit says, I confirm that, Frank. And if Frank is not willing to then say, I agree with you, Lord, and I agree with you, Holy Spirit, and then go through the process of repentance, if I do not do that, I am not His Talmudim. I'm not His disciple. My heart is wicked. It's evil. It's deceitful. But the Holy Spirit is the one that leads us into all truth. That's why God says, do not judge another man's heart. Ouch, don't say that. That's what God's Word says. God only knows the intentions of the heart. Let us continue. Yeshua has told us, if you obey what I say, then you truly are my Talmudim, disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We are set free from all our sins. Not just some, all our sins, if we'll walk in His Word. Confess your sins one to another, that you may be healed. Let's continue. Yeshua then says, occupy till I come. What is that? We're to do the business of the kingdom until He returns. That means that we're to keep busy. That means not that we're to be about being busybodies, but we're to be busy in strength and the purpose of Abba. That's our calling. That's our ministry, one to another. The fruit of this is that we would yearn for Yeshua's return. How many people here yearn for Yeshua's return? With your whole heart, soul, and mind. And that's why now when they say you're nuts, because you believe it's the end times and you're crazy, the things that the Lord is leading you to do, do what the Lord shows you. Read His Word. Walk therein. Follow His provision. Because I tell you, majority of the body of Messiah. In these latter days, what does it say? There shall be a great falling away. Because they'll be falling after men and women, and they will not be falling after their shepherd, Yeshua. Hear his voice. Are we truly yearning for his return? Or do we desire to go things as they are? Just as the days of Noah. So there are many congregations that are going to all through the phases. They look at the calendar, they go through all these different things, and we can too as a Messianic congregation. We can go through all the holidays and lay Yeshua aside. But if he is the center of this, and our relationship with him is preeminent, and our relationship with one another is precious in his sight, then we're doing the will of the Father, and then we're being prepared that we will not be caught unawares, that we are building his kingdom. Father, I just ask right now that you'd prepare our hearts and minds to receive all that you desire for us to receive. To your name be all praise and glory and honor. O Holy Spirit, descend, speak to us, shake us on this ninth day of Av. Shake us to the core of our heart, soul, and spirit, that all the things of this world we would no longer desire, but we would desire Yeshua and him only. To his name be all praise and glory and honor. Amen.